Well, earlier this week, Claire and Michelle and I got together with some of the mothers in our church. And we spent some time chatting together, and this is part of that interview.
Surprising.
Great. Patience. Dependence.
Thank you. Joyful.
Brilliant.
Emotional.
Tiring.
Strange.
Difficult.
Thank you.
Surprising.
Great.
Challenging.
Exhausting.
Ed has been home. I said the word was surprising because obviously we were all taken by surprise. When he arrived back on the train late one night with as much luggage as he could possibly get on the train on his own from London, and not knowing how long he was going to be here for. And a year later, he's obviously still with us. So it has been positive, mostly. And I think it's just being able to spend time. That was unexpected. And it's been some good quality time. And positives are he's done a lot of cooking for us, done a lot of jobs around the house, which has been great. And it's just been good quality and positive family time. And I'm very grateful for that amidst all the other challenges. It's been, on the whole, it's been a very positive experience.
I've actually really enjoyed having quality time with my girls and actually getting to know them a little bit better and understand them a little bit more. And that goes the same for their relationships as well. So there's been less arguing where we've been able to communicate a little bit better and understand each other a little bit more, and teaching them to cook
in particular, like the time that I was able to be really creative with Hero. We've had the space and the time to do that, really, and just to explore what we'd like to do. There's been a lot of creativity there, and kind of those special moments spent together, but also the walks. So we used to, especially in the first lockdown, go on a walk, a really good walk every day, and just seeing nature and being able to chat and see God's creation was really special. And I'd say actually we've had a lot of deep talks about God and faith and kind of journeying that together. So that's been a real positive. Yeah.
Positive for us is that we've really rediscovered our joy of dancing. So creativity is like a massive deal in our house anyway. But one of the things that we've particularly enjoyed is just dancing together. And it's something that we hadn't done for a long time. And so at the beginning of the first lockdown, it was something that we found ourselves kind of just doing every once in a while. And it sort of has become almost a bit of a tradition. Something that we do really often. And actually the other day, Naomi, who is my youngest daughter, was just talking about how much joy she's found in just this experience of us just putting on a piece of music and dancing together. That often happens in the kitchen. I don't know why that is. But I think that that's been a really lovely thing that we've discovered. And also similar to what has already been shared about just this being in this crazy time where we haven't really known what's been going on, just that dependence on the Holy Spirit and what he's saying. And I think that's been something that we've really experienced together a lot more. It's tended to be, I think, in the past, something that we've kind of experienced on our own or in a church building. But being out in nature, going on those walks, listening to music, sitting around in the front room reading our Bibles, and just developing a real greater dependence on Holy Spirit and what he's saying, and experiencing that together has been a really different experience and has been a real blessing to all of us.
Thank you. Joe has been working from home for a whole year now, whereas before he was commuting to London every day and was away from the home from very, very early in the morning till nighttime, and that's been great for me as a mother because I have felt incredibly supported, and our kind of times together like eating every meal together, that has been amazing for us as a family. And actually this experience means that life probably won't actually go back to the same normal as it was, which is good for us. And really our quality of life as a family has really improved despite the challenges that it has brought up too.
We literally just ploughed into learning, and it was pretty much the curriculum was ours. We just went for it. We did what the girls wanted to learn. It was brilliant. We spent half the day outside. We brought in science. We brought in arts. We brought in music. And it just, I absolutely loved it. It was almost like being back in the school kind of thing. We just went for it. And it was lovely, like everyone else has said, sort of to see the children grow more and in a different way, because obviously when they're at school, well, they might act differently at school, but it was, I really enjoyed the first lockdown. It was very surprising in a positive way, so yeah.
What's been positive for me as a mum this year is knowing that Hannah is happy up in York and that God is using her in an amazing way during her internship up at the Belfry.
It's been so great to spend quality time with my boys, especially when Dave as well, my husband, you know, he goes away to sea, but when he's been home as well, we've been able to spend time because we're normally at work or at school. So it's been lovely to spend some good quality time together. I'm a bit like Vicky. I really did enjoy the first lockdown because we were able to just do what they wanted to do in a good way, you know, in a positive way, not just run wild, but just, you know, creativity and, yeah, just playing around with the curriculum and everything like that. But so that was been really nice. And also, teaching things like how to make a cup of tea. You know, Josh now makes a cracking cup of tea now, you know. So that's been great.
I think for me as a mum of a toddler, it's been really difficult, especially with this most recent lockdown, to not have activities to do as such outside of the home. In our life before last March, we were out and about quite a lot, so it is a struggle to keep a toddler entertained in the walls of our home every day, or the days where I'm not working.
It hasn't been easy, and the most challenge, I try to say patience, because I found myself in the middle of many things going on around healthy, Axel, and I felt that God wants me really to learn to trust and trust Him and just release things. Just pray so I can keep on trusting in God and to let Him guide me and, yeah, be in everything I do, because that's what really I feel, that what I feel that I have to do. But I need prayer so I can really keep on trusting and let Him take control and guide me. Yes, yeah, yeah.
One of my biggest challenges at the very start of this was internet and having three children, all in really important years, doing GCSEs, A-levels, and one at uni. So obviously, with the in and out school and the exams, no exams, and what's going on, I found mental health within the girls was showing signs of all different bits, whether it was anxiety or whatever else. And then when Mia finally left at the end of August to go to uni, the struggles that she had at the very start of uni, I wasn't able to be there for, and I've not seen her since. So it's that I've found quite hard, because there's times when you really want to be there for your children, and because of what's going on, physically can't. And FaceTime is not the same as face-to-face.
What I've started to notice, particularly during this lockdown, is just their, I suppose, their fear around what it's going to look like when they go back. And obviously they've had, one's had their first day back today and another one tomorrow. Just around kind of the gaps, I think they're quite worried about, how far behind they might be. and what the landscape of being back in education is going to look like. And so I think similarly to what Tara's just said, actually, I think they're emotionally quite resilient, but there has been an impact. It's been a really strange time for them. I've got one extrovert, one introvert, but both of them are missing their friends, like, enormously. So I think it's just about being, having enough awareness to support them when they need it, but also that kind of word dependence, again, leaning on the Holy Spirit and being able to give them the time and the space that they need to reintegrate, really.
One of the challenges for me as a mum, I think, has been knowing how best to support Ed during this time. So he returned midway through, well, just before his final exams, really, for university, having spent 3 years in London, and to know how best to support and to guide through what we didn't know. So with all the plans that he had, and I think as a mum, you want to help launch your child's future and help and be involved in that. And it's been very hard, and we've certainly learned that we've got to trust the Lord, because we don't know what the future holds. I know none of us know, but I think when you have a plan in mind and that plan then completely goes out the window, because obviously Ed's being a creative, he's a musician, you know, it's going to be a long while, I think, before things like that can happen again. So yeah, just prayers for that, really, that you know, the Holy Spirit will guide him, but also guide us as parents, as me, as a mum, and to trust the Lord that actually God does have a plan, even though when we don't and we can't see the way forward, God does see that. So that's comfort.
My word was strange, and I just think, you know, if you told me sort of 13 months ago that I'd be homeschooling my boys, you know, I wouldn't have believed you, and I wouldn't have thought I'm myself capable. But yeah, it's been tough. I will say that this last lockdown, trying to make sure, because they're at an age when you can't just leave them with a laptop and just ask them to get on with it. I have to sit down with each one of them, and I'm basically got one over there, one over there. I'm running from there to there to there to there, doing this, doing that. And you know, whereas the last lockdown we sort of finished by lunchtime, and this is finished by 3. So yes, it has been tough, but we've managed to get through it.
And my word was difficult, because a lot of the year has been difficult. This past year has been very difficult, because of my asthma. I've had to shield from Hannah and from Mark for big chunks of the year, which is really hard. The first lockdown, sort of going spring into summer, perhaps wasn't too bad, because we could sit out in the garden and at least spend time with each other like that. But I think this hard sort of over the winter months, and with Hannah being away in York as well, it's just been really difficult. As someone said earlier, FaceTime isn't the same. It's great to be able to chat to them, but it's just not the same. And as well as the fantastic time she's been having, there's been difficult times as well. And yeah, as a mum, you just want to be there for your kids, don't you? And you want to be able to give them a hug when they need it, and I can't. And that's been really hard. So it's been quite hard to stay positive at times. So I think prayer, just to see it out to the end, really, so that the end is in sight. That's what I keep telling myself.
I think really it's just what a lot of the other mums have been saying. This last lockdown has been, a real shock. And having 2 teenagers, the emotional side has been something I've never had to. You support them as a mum, but through something like this has been a whole new level. So I think, like a lot of the other guys were saying, it is just prayer for continued trust in, you know, God, and ask for his continued sort of peace within their lives at the moment, because it's still got one that's due back tomorrow, and emotionally, wow, it's really hit her hard. So, yeah, for continued sort of prayer for those guys, really, not knowing, you know, what it is going to look like and the rest of the year going into next year. But I'm also so grateful for the three youth. They have been amazing, keeping in touch, and Sunday online. So I think that's been a real blessing.
It's so good to hear people's experiences and to be able to share some of the joys and some of the challenges of the last year. And we would encourage you to continue to pray for our mothers at this time. I'm just going to pray now, so let's pray together. Father, we pray for mothers today. Would you comfort and encourage them in their parenting? Help them to stay positive during the tough times. Fill them with your patience. Enable them to give wise counsel at just the right moment and in just the right way. Keep them in perfect peace. Give them courage to entrust themselves and their children to you. And remind them that you are all they need. Amen.
You might be aware that last Monday was International Women's Day. It was an opportunity to celebrate the individuality, the impact and the influence of women all over the world. I asked my Facebook friends a couple of weeks ago which female from any point in history had been an inspiration to them. And I got some great responses. And while I'm talking to you, the names and faces of some of those ladies are going to come up on the screen. And there might actually be someone on there you've never heard of. And you might like to go away and research their story and be inspired too. As a child, I read the book of one of these ladies. And that lady was called Corrie ten Boom. Her faith in God and her persistence and her love and her service of others really inspired me. And I was really challenged by the incredible forgiveness that she showed towards the German soldiers who tortured and dishonoured her and her family during World War II. One of my favourite quotes of Corrie's is this: "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." As part of our service today, we want to celebrate the many mother figures throughout history who have impacted the lives of others. Those who have carried within them love and vision and hope. Those who have wrestled and struggled to birth new possibilities for their generation and for the generations to come. Those who have nurtured and tended, comforted and encouraged, guided and challenged. And we also want to celebrate mothers of faith, those who have imparted the beauty of the kingdom of God into some dark and challenging places, those who have sown and cultivated seeds of faith and have inspired others to be more like Jesus. A small number of these women have become famous, but many others have passed through the history books unacknowledged. And yet the lives they changed and influenced, they were certainly no less significant. This morning we also want to say thank you. We want to say thank you to the ladies who currently work in all spheres of our society to care and love others. We want to thank those in caring professions, those in business and politics, those in leadership, those who listen, those who encourage, and those who seek change. We want to thank those who inspire and lead by example. And we want to thank those who serve quietly and those who pray. We are really grateful for all of you. And we also want to encourage you this morning. We want to encourage every one of you that whatever your situation, whoever you are, you can be a parent of faith to another person. You can encourage, you can inspire, you can champion someone else in their faith walk with Jesus, and you can pray and support them.
In God's family, like any family, when one of us celebrates, the rest of us are filled with joy. And it is also true that when one of us is suffering, the rest of us grieve together. Days like today, Mother's Day, can be a brilliant opportunity for family celebration. But it can also be incredibly painful for those who long for a child of their own. Those who are battling infertility or have experienced the loss of a child. It can also evoke painful memories for those who have experienced childhood trauma. And for those who are grieving the loss of a mother. So as a family today, as God's family here today, we would like to take a moment to acknowledge these kinds of pain. And we would like to make space for us to lament together and to stand with those who are really struggling today. So please join with us now as we turn to God.
Today, as a community of your people, we grieve together for what could have been and what has been.
We grieve for what had been hoped for and what has been lost. We grieve for memories that never were and memories we do not want.
We grieve for babies longed for little lives unseen, for children named and loved, and who we ache to hold again.
We grieve for mothers who were never known, for mothers who disappointed, for mothers who were dear, and who we miss with all our hearts.
We bring our emptiness and confusion, our anger and disappointment, our rejection and our pain. We bring our broken hearts and ask you to hold them and heal them, O God.
Creator Father, we wrestle with what you have permitted, but we trust that you are watching over us. You are our beginning and our end.
Saviour Jesus, we do not want to experience such pain, but we trust you walking with us. You wept too.
Holy Spirit, we are empty, but we trust you to fill us. You are our comforter. Amen.
Having listened to some of our mothers talking about the highs and lows of being a mother over the last year, and having watched Simon painting those wonderful images, I wanted to encourage us this morning with two words: comfort and courage. That wonderful verse in Isaiah says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." And we can see from the way that the mother is holding her child the incredible depths of love and tenderness that she feels for them. Over the last year, I'm sure that we've all had moments when we have felt in need of comfort, of reassurance, of someone's arms around us. Or when, as parents, our children have needed such reassurance and comfort from us. This is the way that God feels about us. He is described as the God of all comfort. And sometimes just being in God's presence comforts us. Sometimes we find comfort in God's word, as we heard from Sandy earlier. Sometimes there may be a particular reason why we need comforting. And most of us will have experienced loss or grief of some kind over the last year. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And Paul describes God as one who comforts the downcast. Allow God to comfort you. And some of these images might be helpful. He longs to gather you under his wings like a mother hen. With him, we can be like a child with its mother, which is so beautifully represented in Psalm 131. And we can rest in him, be shielded by him, and rest between God's shoulders like a lamb. As you receive God's comfort for yourself, so you in turn will be able to comfort others. And then courage. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings, takes them up and bears them aloft on its pinions. Here we have echoes of the first image as the eagle hovers over its young, giving them protection, checking they're okay, making sure nothing bad happens to them. And God certainly does that for us. Psalm 91 says, he will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. But there's more than that here. Because there comes a point where the young eagle is ready to start flying. And then the role of the parent bird changes slightly to one of support and crisis intervention. As parents, we want to prevent all harm from coming to our children. But we also need to prepare them, to equip them to face life on their own. And this can be tricky. A tricky balance to strike. It takes courage not to step in and fix things for our children. And several of the mothers we heard earlier shared how difficult it is to watch their children struggling with their mental health or going through situations which they have no control over, wanting to step in but not being able to do anything about it. There comes a point where we have to let go and allow our children to develop their own coping strategies, to find their own courage. And here again, there are parallels with our relationship with God. Sometimes God puts us in situations where we are out of our comfort zone, where we have to draw on his resources of faith, resilience and courage, and depend entirely on him. We can be confident that if we make a mistake or stumble, he will be there to catch us. And the image of the eagle spreading its wings and soaring upwards presents a powerful metaphor of giving in to God, of giving yourself up to him. Because his power is far greater than ours, and he will never let us fall. There comes a point where we need to take God at his word, when he says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. So today, on this Mother's Day, whether you're celebrating being a mother yourself, remembering your own mother, or reflecting on God as the perfect parent, be comforted and take courage.